Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Off and running into our fourth and final hour here of Sports Talk, the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, Deuce McAllister, Saints all-time leading rusher. I'm Christian Garrick here with you. Coming up this hour, Jacques Doucet, sports anchor and reporter for WAFB in Baton Rouge. Both Lowell Narcisse and Justin McMillan, both at quarterback, absent from today's practice. Reports say they are weighing their options, looking at their transfer options. Also, Alan Waddell, our WWL prep insider, at Alan G. Waddell, will step in here in a little bit. The Louisiana High School Athletic Association has launched an investigation into Brother Martin Athletics regarding potential recruiting violations by Crusaders football coach Mark Bonice. We'll delve into that. I'll explain more coming up at the bottom of this hour. Right now, to the phones we go. Matt,
you're not going to go to Patrick? He's been holding on 2 hours.
Okay, yeah, I'm sorry. We'll go to Patrick.
Come on.
I apologize.
Christian,
All right, Bobby's calling me out. Patrick, thanks for your patience.
Thank you so much, Bobby. That's why you're my favorite quarterback of all time in Saints NFL history.
Thanks, Patrick. You. Thanks for the phone call. Sorry, that wasn't intentional by any means. I'm just bad at math.
No, that's okay. That's quite okay with me, Christian. I just wanted to chime in with you guys. Induced, first of all, let me just say real quick, I'm very humble and very honored to be on the phone with great Saints greats like yourselves, man. Thank you so much, man. But my name is Patrick. Like I said, I'm a retired sergeant, I'm a diehard Saints.
What branch are you in?
I'm a retired Army Staff Sergeant.
Yeah, thanks for your service, man.
Overseas, Kuwait and Iraq. No problem. But I just want to go back. I've been holding on 2 hours so you guys can hear my perspective and my insight on this helmet rule. Now, I know it's a hot button topic. That's why everybody's talking about it, because I think the main emphasis is that everybody's putting on is that it's going to slow up the game. It's going to slow up the game.
Right.
You know, and we all know the rules committees, you know, they've made some dumb rules, you know, and we get that. So that's what everybody's looking at. Okay, it's another dumb rule. It's another rule that's going to slow up the game. But see, here's my opinion, guys. They got it right this time. And I'm going to tell you why they got it right with this new helmet rule. Because when I was a kid, you know, we played football on the park. You know, we didn't have no shoulder pads. I heard Nick something was talking about it earlier, and Bobby and him kind of touched on what I'm talking about right now. When we were kids, we didn't have helmets on, we didn't have shoulder pads, and we didn't have a lot of injuries because you know why? We didn't have those helmets on. We kept our heads up, we made tackles, and we made a lot of clean tackles.
You know, with your shoulder, right?
Exactly. So this is my point why I'm saying the rules committee got it right this time, because guess what? You know, it's going to slow up the game. It is. Initially, one, I promise you, by the middle of the season, players are going to get those fines, they're going to get ejected, and they're going to say, you know what, I'm keeping my head up, and you know what? That's going to be so much less injury, so much more helmet, so much less helmet, because those players are going to be so much more like, hey, you know what? I'm going to get ejected if I put my head down. I'm going to get fined if I put my head down. So I'm going to keep my head up. And those penalties are going to go away because guys are going to be more prevalent of it and more understanding of it. And guess what? We're going to have a lot less injuries helmet to helmet.
Well, Patrick.
I hope you're right, Patrick.
No, Patrick, I'm taking the approach because I'm looking for the future of the NFL. And what I mean by that, the guys that are going to be playing 2025, 2030, mm-hmm. So that's basically half a dozen years plus, or let's say a dozen years, that they're going to be educated enough and they're going to learn to tackle with their shoulder. So I think that it will not be a major issue. Because how they were taught at a young age, I think we are a creature of habits, and how you were coached when you playing Pop Warner, a little league, junior high, going forward now, I think you'll see more and more players involved, and Drew Brees is promoting this flag football to learn the skills of the game, and then the older you get, maybe in high school, you learn more tackling. But to me, if you take out the helmet in the formula, you will learn to tackle with your shoulder at a high level, and that it will be still aggressive football that we love, but it might be a transition period from when you have the old school guys considering the future players, and I think it's all going to work out because we love aggression, we love tackling, but they want to see top-notch tackling at a high level. But you have to be taught that at a young age where you're not tentative. And I think it can occur, but it might be a process that we're going to see within our life lifespan, so to speak. But it's not going to be like, way down the road. I think it's like a transition of a half a dozen to a dozen years.
Patrick, thanks for your phone call. Good take, and thanks for being patient. I apologize. Don't be a stranger. Jacques Doucet joining us now, sports anchor and reporter for WAFB in Baton Rouge. What's going on, Stinker?
I'm real excited. I'm on the air with two of my football heroes, Bobby Hebert, Deuce McAllister, and Christian. You're pretty cool, too.
I'm pretty cool. All right, I appreciate that. I'll take that. Hey, so Lowell Narcisse and Justin McMillan both absent from practice today. What can we make of that?
I think that what's been reported and said is accurate. I think both of those guys are contemplating what to do with their careers. Maybe they see the writing on the wall that they're not going to compete for a starting spot or any playing time. I think Joe Burrow is obviously the odds-on favorite to be the starter. I think that they will make an effort to keep Lowell Narcisse around. I know they don't want him to leave. Justin McMillan, good kid, been around for a long time, just kind of hard to take seriously in terms of ever playing at LSU and really – are you going to line up Justin McMillan in a big SEC game? Probably not. So it does kind of make the job easier for LSU to cut their quarterbacks in half from 4 to 2 to name a starter. But at the same time, I think they'd like to keep at least 3 around that they want to develop and like.
Now, Jacques, my understanding, McMillan has graduated. Does he have a degree?
Yeah, Bobby, he sure did.
So if he has graduated, he can go where the hell he wants. I mean,
that's
I take that approach because, listen, realistically, he's going to make it in the NFL, no. But at least you got your degree, so he has his priorities in order. So give him an opportunity. He loves football. He wants to play. I can totally accept that. If I'm advising Narcisse's family, come on. Listen, they might have a package for you at LSU, but you got to change position. You're not making it as an NFL quarterback. That might be a rude awakening, but you're not going to make it. You want to get paid. Don't you want to get paid to play football? Well, you got to understand, you got to humble yourself to get on the field, whatever it might take. Tim Tebow didn't humble himself to be an H-back. If he'd have been an H-back and play on special teams, he could be an NFL player. But he did not humble himself, so he's trying to make the Mets. He's not going to make the major leagues. But the thing about Tim Tebow, he was athletic enough to be an H-back and contribute on special teams. That might be the same thing with the Saints, Taysom Hill. How can you make it to get paid? Listen, you want to graduate and get a degree and go forward? So listen, Narcisse, he contributed at a high level, RPOs, whatever you want to call it, and you can have a package for him at LSU, and I know they want him involved. But if I'm his family – and I'm involved with him, okay, how can I get paid at the National Football League level or whatever professionally to get paid to play football a game?
Yeah, Bobby, and to your point, Tim Tebow is the most interesting man in the world, not the guy in the Dos Equis commercial. He plays some baseball. He does some national TV on ESPN. He can go speak at a church in front of 20,000 people. I mean, he can do whatever he wants.
Right.
Lowell, Bobby, we go out there and we're not even watching teamwork. We're not even watching 7-on-7 or 11-on-11. And Lowell just struggles with his accuracy. He throws high, he throws low, and he's a great kid. I love him. We covered him at St. James. He's overcome those 2 knee injuries. But yeah, to your point, I mean, he fills out his jersey like he's a tight end or an edge rusher or something.
Right.
So yeah, maybe they can find a spot for him in a you know, I don't want to discourage him from playing quarterback, but at this point it doesn't look like he's going to get on the field unless it's a package like they've talked about. I'm not even sure if they're going to do that.
Jacques Doucet, WAFB reporter and sports anchor, at Jacques Doucet on Twitter. Jacques, the O-line apparently for the scrimmage didn't look too good, didn't come out too positive. You think they can fix that? What's the issue there?
Well, Christian, it was funny. We went to the Rotary Club, and Coach Ogeron was talking in front of some fans, and some guy stood up and said, "Coach O, I want to compliment you on a very quiet off season." And that was kind of the kiss of death. So the very next day, Ed Ingram is suspended indefinitely. Tyler Taylor, apparently he thought that no one was going to find out about his arrest and three felonies. He never told the coaching staff. And then you got the Christian Fulton case where, you know, his chances were slim and none, but he didn't get it overturned. So, yeah, Coach O had said the offensive line had a lot of depth, but apparently they're struggling. Now, granted, maybe it's like back in Bobby's days when, you know, they're going up against the Dome Patrol and an awesome Saints defense. I think
right.
This LSU defense is going to be pretty salty. I think they're going to give a lot of people a lot of trouble. But yeah, as Coach O said, well, you know, we're going into the SEC. We're going to be playing good defensive or great defensive lines every week. So we need to get some things straight. So, yeah, they're struggling a little bit. And in the running game, I mean, can you manufacture enough yards on the ground with Nick Brossette, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and, some of these other guys to win football games is a big question.
I know this is an odd question, but do you sense any pressure around maybe the players? I know the coaches can handle it and deal with it, but it's odd because they haven't even played a game. But I think they know what's at stake as well.
Yeah, Deuce. I mean, they're saying seems to be block out the noise. They you know, Coach O says I can't tell guys to stay off Twitter. It's impossible in social media. But there's a lot of noise out there. Low expectations. They were picked fifth in the SEC West. Only in front of, I think, your Ole Miss Rebels and Arkansas Razorbacks there in the West. And I think this 24 ranking is their lowest ranking since Nick Saban's first year in 2000 when they were unranked. So there's not a lot expected of the team. That they're trying to block out the noise. And certainly they don't get any break in the first game of the year going against a Miami team that I think has two of the best pass rushers in the country coming off the edge. You get a breather against Southeastern, maybe, and then you're on the road at a top 10 Auburn team. So two of your first three games right off the bat are tough games, and kind of, you know, you can have a real good idea if your season's going to be decent or going downhill in a hurry, by the end of September with, you know, home games against Georgia and Alabama, trips to Florida. I mean, it's just the murderous schedule this year.
Now, Jacques, along those lines, somehow can Coach O and the Tigers start out 2-1? I would say playing the percentages, I would like LSU's chances more against Miami and Arlington, Texas, versus playing at Auburn. But do you feel like, I don't know if I've ever seen this in a while. I can remember T-Bob because I was at the game at Arlington at Jerry's World when they were playing the Oregon Ducks. And they all ranked fourth, but they had the Honey Badger, who was unbelievable considering that significant win they had there. Oregon was fourth in the nation. You look at Miami, a top 10 program. But isn't this almost like a bowl game that, boy, we got to get off to a great start, and this could be a meaningful 1-0, even though it doesn't have any bearing on the SEC, simply because the expectations of where Miami's at and who you're playing to kick off the season?
Yeah, no doubt. You're going to have the entire country watching that game on a Sunday night before Labor Day. Families are going to be home and have to go to work the next day. I mean, I think, you know, you have a lot of people just around the country watching that game, and certainly two very proud programs. I think it's the first time they've met since LSU kicked their tail in the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl in 2005.
In Atlanta, yeah.
First year, 40-3. I think Andrew Whitworth said we kicked their butt twice, on the field and then in the tunnel after the game. They had that brawl. Remember, so. Yeah, it is a lot of pressure on that first game, Bobby. I can also, you know, point to 2014 where LSU was playing terrible against Wisconsin. They rallied and won the game, but then at the end of the day, they were 8-5 and lost in the Music City Bowl. So, and that wasn't a season up to their standards. So it'll be very interesting. And boy, while you brought it up, you know, Tyrann Mathieu, just what an amazing football player in 2011, a defensive player who literally changed games many, many times in 2011. He was very special.
Jacques Doucet, WAFB sports reporter and anchor. And Jacques, what does Paul Maneri think about that new scoreboard that's going in at Tiger Stadium or at the box?
Well, Christian, I know Deuce is kind of a football guy, but I hope that, and Bobby too, but if you guys get a chance, we'd love to have you at some of our games and practices. We'll even put your face up there, Christian, if you'd like to.
Had to end it with that. Jacques, appreciate it, man.
And Christian, by the way, I had CSC on yesterday. I think I saw an hour of footage of you getting dumped in a dunking booth.
Yeah, yeah.
Just went on and on and on.
Yeah, it was fun. That was a lot of fun.
Well, the only thing, he would have been better off if he wore no shirt instead of that clinging shirt.
I know. I got to do a better job. Hide my fat.
Well,
Jacques, thanks, man.
But no, Jacques, I think Christian got happy fat now. You know, you're in a relationship. And you happy and all that? Because before he was all yoked. I go, Christian, what happened to you within a year? Huh?
God, you guys are making me sound like I'm a disgusting human being.
No.
I just got off the regimen for a little bit. I'm going to get back on. Y'all are shaming me.
Yeah, you got to get back on the regimen.
Jacques, we got to run, man. Thanks. This is Sports Talk here on WWLAMFMN.com. All right, big news in the LHSAA high school football. The Louisiana High School Athletic Association has launched an investigation into Brother Martin's athletics regarding potential recruiting violations by Crusader football coach Mark Bonice. And the schools allege an unspecified number of unnamed athletes were being recruited by Bonice, including those he reached out to at an annual Slidell Youth Football Association camp this past June in 2017 and in 2017. So basically, a couple of North Shore schools, I think Salmon's part of it as well, complained about, I'm kind of paraphrasing this for you, complained about Mark Bonice showing up to this youth football camp and talking to some of these players about how great Brother Martin's program is, and not to mention they brought Will Clapp along after he got drafted here this past June, and he wasn't wearing Saints or LSU gear, but he was wearing some Brother Martin gear. Look, I think this has sour grapes written all over it. I think that some schools approach it as if they live within my district or my zone, those are my kids, and that's a flawed way of thinking about it. Because I talked to Coach Nick Saltamaggio earlier today. He still has to, just because they live on the West Bank doesn't mean that he can just go, automatically they're mine. He still has to quote unquote recruit those kids to stay at his school. It happens at a lot.
No, wait, to stay at Hondville.
Yeah. I mean, so my point, though, is that it just has sour grapes written all over it. I want to get to Alan Waddell, at Alan G. Waddell on Twitter, part of our Prep Football Roundup crew, each and every Friday night. Nobody knows more about high school football in this state than Alan. Alan, thanks for the time, man.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
What do you make of this? Do you think that there's a legit beef here? I mean, it seems to me every time a high school coach is going to go in front of any audience, they're going to pump their program.
Well, here's the deal. I mean, Coach Mark Bonice, your brother Martin, he lives in Slidell. And I know he has some friends over there. And I know a lot of their coaching staff has worked that camp. And, you know, I think they view it as a way to get back to their community and go there. It's not getting paid to go work the camp. And they work with a lot of young kids. And I know some people in the Slidell community, I think Slidell, North Shore, and Salmon actually put the complaint out there. And I think one of the other big parts is I think the head of the Slidell Youth Football Association, his kid goes to Brother Martin. So, I mean, I don't know. You know, I think, isn't this why we have the split? You know what I mean? Like, isn't this
right,
why they wanted to have the split? I mean,
but they took three players. It's perceived that Mark Bonice and Brother Martin have three players that otherwise would have went to North Shore or Salmon.
Well, you know, Alan, when I look at it, I mean, are you a socialist or are you a capitalist? I mean, I don't know if you're a parent of a talented kid. I mean, why not go wherever you want? I can tell you right now, when I lived in Mandeville, played with the Saints, Mitch Ackle was my neighbor in Mandeville. His kid was a stud baseball player, and he went to Jesuit. He ended up getting a scholarship to Rice. We all know Rice University. He started off in the College World Series at third base. So wouldn't you want, as a parent, that whatever's best for your kid in that opportunity? So that's why, I mean, a lot of times when you look at, okay, you stack in teams, whatever, but I'm looking for opportunities, especially if I'm a parent and I have a kid that talented.
Guys, I think another thing that goes into this is the New Orleans Catholic schools is so much different than a lot of places in the country. There's just so much tradition. And, you know, there's a lot of people that, I mean, I know of a family that lives on the North Shore in Ponchatoula that their kid goes to Holy Cross. It has nothing to do with sports. It's because their dad went to Holy Cross, and they're Holy Cross people.
Yeah, and there's a Holy Cross family, yeah.
Right. So, you know, it's just, I don't know. And, I mean, I can understand, I guess, the complaint that they're the only school that's attending this camp that is not from the Slidell area. But, you know, if you're Coach Bonice and you have an opportunity to go there and you're working the camp, you're helping young kids, I mean, are you not going to talk well about your program? I mean, they have had a lot of success the last few years. And, you know, I think one of the complaints you said it earlier, Christian, but Will Clapp went and they said he wasn't sporting an LSU shirt or sporting a New Orleans Saints shirt. He was sporting a Brother Martin shirt.
So what? So we're going to start governing what these guys can wear, supporting their high schools? I mean, we look, the most important thing down here, Alan, as we all know, it's not where you went to college, it's where you went to high school.
Well, that's in South Louisiana, when you meet somebody new, you never say where you went to college. Say, where'd you go to high school? And
right.
And certainly that's what – I mean, I don't know what's going to come of this. I mean, I think that certainly the LHSA has to do their due diligence. When they get a complaint, they have to go in and see what's going on. I'm sure they're going to go into the school and see if there was any type of, you know, financial aid going to these kids. I don't know. But I'm anxious to see how this turns out because this could certainly open up Pandora's box. Because, you know, in that greater New Orleans area, there are a lot of kids going to school outside of their attendance zone.
Well, and Alan, that was my next question. What were your thoughts on what happens with this current situation? You know, how do – I don't want to say you police it or patrol it. Do you think it's a fine? Do you think it's some type of suspension or it's a slap on the wrist?
I really don't know. And, you know, that's one of the things that I know that Eddie Bonine was brought here, which he was the director of the LHSA. He was brought here from Nevada and came in, and that was one of his things. He wanted the police recruiting, so to speak. And I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, this is certainly going to set a precedent, though, moving forward of what's going on and whether – whether coaching staff can attend, you know, small rec league parks or just go in and watch kids and talk to them. And we're going to see, you know, this is going to set a precedent. There's no doubt about it. And I'm anxious to see what happens, guys, because I really don't know at this point. You know, Brother Martin is not really one of the programs you think about or you hear about that says, oh, you know what, they're out there getting kids. But certainly those three schools in St. Tammany Parish, they think they are. So – they made the complaint, and now, again, the LHSA have to go in and do their job. But it's just so hard to police, guys.
Yeah.
I mean, this isn't – they don't have the resources of the NCAA. You know, they don't have the resources of those type of companies and other type of organizations. And I know they do the best they can, but certainly what happens on this decision is going to set a precedent in our state of what can happen at these small camps, you know, that go on in our state.
Alan Waddell, Alan G. Waddell on Twitter, our WWL Prep Insider. You'll hear him on Friday nights coming up soon here on the Prep Football Roundup. Alan, it's worth pointing out, again, Mark Bonice was invited to this camp. Show up and just start talking about his program. He was invited. And look, for the LHSAA, I'll be honest, and bear with me here because I'm going to go off on a little bit of a rant, but I have absolutely zero confidence that they're going to deal with any of this rationally whatsoever. They haven't done it in the past. Their history shows me otherwise. I mean, it doesn't show me otherwise. And look, I've had Nick Saltafamaggio, Nelson Stewart on this very radio show, and they're talking about their program. So is that recruiting? No. Whenever you're going to ask a coach or put a coach in front of an audience, he's not going to say, "Oh, this our program is trash. He shouldn't come to Brother Martin." It's just not going to happen. So now, what are the confines and restrictions you're going to put on these coaches? They can't talk at all? They can't go to any of these camps? Even if they're invited? Even if it's free? They're not getting paid? I mean, what do you expect them to say? He's not going to – I mean, Nick Saban's not going to be out there going, "Oh, don't come to my program. It's terrible." Any chance he gets, he's going to tell you how good his program is. Same thing with these coaches.
Christian, don't you think also that we want our young people, our young kids coming up in our state to have the opportunity to be influenced by some of the best of their profession?
Yeah. I mean,
listen, no disrespect to Slidell, to Salmon, to North Shore. I mean, I know all those guys. I mean, and those are good programs. But Brother Martin's had a lot of success the last few years, and you have an opportunity to have their coach staff come over and work with some of those kids. I don't know. I don't necessarily see the harm in it. But obviously they think that they have a case and that they think they have a complaint. So now we have to see how it plays out.
You know, the other part of this too is you look at what's going on in Mark Bonice's personal life right now with his kid. It's just, this is kind of like kicking them when they're down.
He don't need that. Yeah, you know, I agree. But guys, it all goes back to this though, and this has been the storyline of high school football for the last so many years. This is why they split it. They don't have to play Brother Martin in the playoffs if it comes to that situation. So if they think a kid from their attendance zone is playing for Brother Martin, the good news for those programs is they don't have to square off against them when it comes time to play for a state championship.
Well, Alan, when I look back, and I was fortunate in 1977 to win the state championship when it was public, you know, private schools. I can remember we get past the Catholic district in the quarterfinals, old school with St. Aug. We beat Archbishop Shaw to go on to play Wachita and Monroe before the finals. But I can remember the pride in the community, and I think this does come about, but it has to be a free decision. It can't be forced upon. If anyone would have came up to me or a number of South Lafourche athletes at the time in the late 70s to go to a private school like Vanderbilt and Houma, or E.D. White and Thibodeau, we'd have been like, no, I want to represent our community and I want to play with my friends. You could say, well, it's interesting, the choice that you're making, considering maybe the opportunity you can have at a private school versus a public school. So to me, that should be a decision that an individual makes with themselves and their family and not forced upon. That I know it was a big thing to play and represent down the bayou at South Lafourche, end up winning the championship. But so I think whether it's the North Shore, South Shore, Catholic District, give the opportunity to that individual and their family to play for whoever they want to play for. Why would you be hating on that?
This is a witch hunt at the highest proportion. This is a witch hunt, period. No other way to put it. And I know Alan might not say that because he's got to talk to a lot of these programs and these schools. And I get that. And I know you're on those campuses, Alan, every week. But it just seems like that to me. This looks like a total witch hunt. And I would say to Salmon, to North Shore, the other schools, get a better program. Make your program better. Those are not your kids. Just because they live in your zone doesn't mean they're automatically yours.
Well, I can tell you, Alan, think about this. Perfect example. You know who was the NFL player? Deuce. No, this is recent. You know who was the NFL player, and he left the state and went to Penn State and succeeded at a high level? Michael Marty. You know where he went to high school? Mandeville. A public school. Wasn't no private school. So, man, either, you kick and play or not play, and you might – that's where you got to make the decision. I want him involved in the community – or maybe I want a better opportunity at a private school, whether it be St. Paul on the North Shore or whatever, or you come to the Catholic district. The bottom line is you got too many people involved with an individual player or family that they don't need to be involved in. To me, what's the best opportunity for the individual athlete and their family to go forward and take advantage of that opportunity and then just let it be whatever's going to come about is going to come about.
Hey, guys, it's one of those deals where it's kind of like politics. You're either on one side of this or you're on the other. And you're going to make somebody upset with your opinion either way you look at it because, you have some of those topics when you're bringing up, you're talking about with friends, hey, let's not go to that topic. Well, everywhere I go, it just seems like this topic wants to come up. And, again, no matter what I say, I feel like it's going to upset somebody, but I really don't see the harm in what Coach Bonice and his staff was doing working with those kids in Slidell. That's where you live.
Yeah, I'm with you, Alan. Alan Waddell, at Alan G. Waddell on Twitter, covers prep sports, prep football on Friday nights, part of our prep football roundup. And, Alan, real quick, what do you think – so what confidence do you have in the LHSAA to think about this rationally?
I don't know all the facts, Christian. I mean, if it's one of those deals, if they can prove that they went in there – and talk to these kids, and you have kids that are coming from the side of the zone into Brother Martin, and they get in there and they notice that, hey, there's some type of financial aid that other students aren't getting, and they're getting them. I mean, then, there's certain actions I think that take place, and you do have to keep some type of a level playing field, even though that we are split when it comes to the playoffs. But I don't know. They've had so much change in the LHSA over the last 10 years. I really don't know which direction they'll go when it comes to this.
Alan Waddell, we'll see you, talk to you in a couple of weeks, man. Before you know it, you guys will be on the air on Prep Football.
No doubt about it, guys. All right,
Alan. Thanks, Alan.
Now, look, Deuce, Bobby,
let me tell you, you know what's a bunch of BS? If your kid's a stud and has an opportunity, okay, you look at two players playing in the National Football League. I don't know their history, but I know a little bit about it. Look at Debo. Debo, the starting linebacker with the Atlanta Falcons, outstanding stud, went to Jesuit. Right? Duke Riley from the West Bank goes to John Curtis. Now, my understanding, if you're Debo's family or Duke Riley's family, why wouldn't you want the best environment opportunity for him? It don't matter where the hell they go to school. I want the best opportunity for my kid. If you truly, now you might say, well, that's selfish. What about the community? No. I'm looking after my family.
The community doesn't pay for my bills.
I'm looking out for my family. So that's why, listen, I could check the haters on that because you might say, well, he grew up here and this and that. Well, you know, maybe your kid didn't have that opportunity that a Duke Riley or Debo has.
It's always going to be a touchy situation. One of the things that you always try to do, particularly knowing, and if you've got an affiliation with another school, I'm not going to go with Ole Miss gear on if I know I'm going to LSU to speak about LSU.
Because you have common sense, dudes. Come on.
But it's normal, the courtesy of, if I'm going to be speaking at Slidell, 9 times out of 10, I'm not going to talk about my school if I have another affiliation. But if a parent does ask me, then I think that you would normally do so. But if I'm just addressing the Slidell organization, then I'm thanking the kids for coming out. Hey, look, this is how we would have done it, in a sense, but I'm not there to promote my particular school, if that makes sense.
Yep. Deuce, Bobby, and Christian wrapping it up on Sports Talk next. Got Junior in New Orleans trying to get to you as well. This is Sports Talk here on WWL. Deuce, Bobby is in rare form tonight, man.
No, the thing is, everything is politically correct, Cage. What's fair? Oh, it's not fair, this and that. How about if I punch you in the mouth? Is that fair? I mean, no, it gets to the point where it's so ridiculous.
I'm talking about just out of left field.
I know, but dude, I'm talking about just competing. I
wasn't paying attention
to
him enough earlier during the break. Well, he's like, you listen to me.
Listen.
No, I don't care if you public, private school. How about you just win man to man? I mean, it doesn't matter.
I'm with you.
I mean, it's like, it's not fair. It's not fair, this and
doesn't
that.
Doesn't it sound like, tell me if I'm wrong here, doesn't it sound like those schools that were reporting Mark Bonnies and Brother Martin?
Hating.
It just sounds like, we can't beat them, so let's go. Or, you know, we're not good enough to put together a solid program, so let's just rat on people.
Well, the thing is, if you don't get the individual player, if you live on the North Shore, why can't you go to school wherever you want?
Right.
I mean, come on, if I had a kid that talented, I mean, I want the best opportunity for him. What's wrong with that? I mean, I don't know, hating.
We got to push out of here. Thanks to Mark Menard at Master Control, Stephen Geller as well for helping us put together the program. Deuce, Bobby, and Christian here on Sports Talk. Back at you tomorrow at 4 o'clock following Saints practice at 8:50. Semper Fi, I'm out. Deuce, do your thing and hand it to the cannon.
Yeah, Deuce going to get crunk.
Thanks for the call, all the texts. Bobby, let's have it.
All right. Bonne nuit, les gens. Good night, people. Hoot at.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.